Our Old Testament reading comes from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from Philippians chapter 2. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the gospel reading. Our gospel comes from Matthew chapter 21. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the word of the Lord. Confess our Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to be careful not to just be sowing fear. But I think it's fair to say that we in the United States have an ongoing crisis or a problem of authority. The general right track versus wrong track polls are currently at 65 to 27 in favor of wrong. Two-thirds of the country thinks we are generally going the wrong direction. That number has not been below 50% since early 2009. I cite that measure because it's usually taken to reflect more than just politics. We start wars without even a minimum of a fig leaf of debate. 70% of the nation wants immigration controlled, yet the parties conspire for open borders. Police no longer get the benefit of the doubt for a tough job. The flip side of that is armored up cops have no problem saying things like, "Do what I say and nothing bad will happen." That might be common sense, but the quartering of troops and a standing army were original colonial grievances. Common Core, without a single vote that I could find, has become a national school curriculum. One that parents who ask school boards to discuss find themselves getting arrested. We lock up the highest number of stoners in the world, but the guys who crashed the banking system for fun and profit are still in their jobs. Bishops have been found either shuffling around perverts or being perverts themselves. At the same time, entire church bodies vote the Ten Commandments to be the Ten Suggestions. If you bring it more local, true in churches, but true of almost any civic organization, the backbone board positions go begging, as people are willing to take part and expect it to be there, but few are willing to shoulder the authority. And none of that even touches on the fact that, contrary to St. Paul's encouragement to think about whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, our culture excels at the production of filth and whatever is the minimum requirement. Wherever you look, you find proper authority granted, abused for personal gain. Improper authority taken for illicit goals, or authority abandoned, and the people dispirited at 65% wrong track. Authority is actually a major theme in Matthew. It first makes its appearance after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes up the mount in a move surely reminiscent of Moses and Sinai and proclaims the charter of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Do not think that I have come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. The golden rule. Build your house upon the rock. And coming down, all the people who had heard it were astonished because he was teaching as one who had authority. They might not yet have been willing to grant that authority, but the crowds saw it. Jesus claimed to forgive the lame man his sins, and then, so everyone would know that the Son of Man had this authority, he told him to pick up his mat and walk. And he did. Sending out the 12, Jesus granted them authority over the evil spirits. And coming back, the disciples were amazed that even the demons were subject to them. Late in time, the Messiah has appeared and demonstrated his authority in word and signs and wonders. And he's just ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, the Mount of David and Solomon, to the adoration of the crowds, hailing him as Hosanna, son of David. And he comes to the temple, and he cleanses it. As John the Baptist had cried, "The greater one is coming right behind me. The axe is already at the root of the tree. But the chief priests and the elders of the people, the proper authorities, come scrambling out. Now, they've been enriching themselves by their positions while ignoring the people. The temple had become a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer for all nations. The sacrifices had been polluted and neglected, but the taxes had still been collected. Authority given had been abused. Authority not given was pursued by playing games with Pontius Pilate. "We have no king but Caesar," they would say. Authority that they were charged with, like leading Israel in worship, had been abandoned, except when a dime could be made. The chief priests and the elders of the people demanded from Jesus, "What authority allows you to do these things? And where does it come from?" To us, it might sound tricky, but responding to a question with another question, especially one that refined the inquiry, was accepted Jewish debate. And that is surely what Jesus does. You want me to talk about authority? You want to question my authority and where it comes from? Tell me, where did John's come from? And very specifically, where did John's baptism come from? Not John himself, per se, but the baptism. Because that was something new. That was a new thing that had the potential to hurt the temple racket. John declared something new, a baptism for repentance. And he was doing it at the Jordan River, the original place where Israel crossed into the promised land. Don't miss that statement. A new Israel was crossing the Jordan. The Israel, the faithful Israel, would come to the Jordan to accept that baptism. What physical Israel could never do, Jesus would. The people of Israel was being reformed. A new crossing. A new 12. A new people. Not bound to that physical temple, but made into a spiritual temple. Tell me, John's baptism. By what authority? And they refused to answer. Once more, they abandoned their authority. They displayed just how hollow it was. But everyone knew Jesus' answers. By what authority? By the authority of the greater one that John proclaimed. By the authority of the Messiah, the Son of David. And from where? From the Father. Jesus didn't need to spell it out. Like those early crowds, they could recognize it. Matthew uses authority one more time, right at the end of his gospel. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." At the ascension, after the passion which fulfilled the law, and after the resurrection which proved the offering, Jesus says it's all done. All authority on heaven and earth is his. What Satan had offered to give him for worship, which would have been an improper authority, Jesus receives from the Father properly. all authority. And not just the kingdoms of the world, but also of heaven. As Lewis would say, aim for heaven, and you get the world thrown in. And what is the most important thing with this grant of authority? Make disciples. It's not conquest or money or revenge or power or status or any of the things that earthly authority desires. Jesus says, make disciples. And he grants that authority to us and tells us how we do that. Baptism and teaching. By what authority does this body gather? By what authority has this body at all times and in all places gathered? By that royal grant. This is the fulfillment of the remaking of Israel. We are those who have crossed into the promised land through our baptisms. And we are those who have heard his teaching. This is the one who has the authority to forgive sins and has granted it to this people. We have no other authority. We have no other mission. Make disciples, baptizing and teaching. The answer to our crisis of authority is not to cast about different people to wield human authority. The answer to our crisis of authority is putting things in the proper order. The answer to our crisis of authority is in those baptismal waters. It's in his teaching. It's in his royal authority and turning ourselves over to his authority. The authority that he would claim as a light yoke or as freedom for the prisoners. As Peter would proclaim on Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Come near. Amen.